Antifa general.
Antifa general.
Not on my streets.
One, two, three. Welcome to the Friendly Geordies podcast. How are we doing?
Well, I'm well. Shit.
Miss Love on the other
hand. Yeah, Miss Love's pretty shit. Miss Love, do you want to beg real quick?
Who there's got a car for their Croatian uncle? Come on. Anyone in New South Wales. Even anywhere in the country, you wanna give me a car? Come on, Daddy needs.
Sell it to him for cheap. Don't give it to him.
Listen to me. I'm making an appeal. I've been screwed. I screwed myself. My car is kaput.
He bought it for $2,000, spent $6,000, and now it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. And now he's gonna have to spend $4,000 on it.
Well,
he was offered a car by me for free,
and I didn't take it.
And then he said that's a bad deal, and then didn't get it.
Sorry, I forgot.
Absolutely hilarious.
That's my situation. Yeah. I give what I pay you in laughs. So will you pay me in steel and motor
money,
and money, motors, a motor and shit? All I need is a car that has been serviced recently. 100,000 Ks would be amazing. I don't, around that thing.
Preferably brand new. That would be incredible.
I just need an automobile. You gotta help me, please. Just sell me. There's got to be someone out there listening that has a car that they want to sell me that is preferably a Toyota. Manual's fine. Auto's better, but manual's fine. I just need a car.
Nissan Leaf, you'd accept that.
Is that a leaf that floats?
Lambo.
Listen, hit me up on Instagram, MissLove6, I think it is. Hit me up because I...
Yeah, just keep randomly messaging Miss Love saying, do you want a free car until you hit him?
Yeah, yeah. And
it doesn't have to be free.
Yes, just be like, well, we'll go look for one.
I'll buy one. I just think that like none of our fans would screw me and have a car that hasn't been serviced for ages and it'll just die because I don't want to go on Gumtree and do that shit, that game.
Game?
You know? Yeah, the game of buying a car.
What's the game?
The game is everyone's trying to screw you and then it happens all the time. They're like, it looks great. It's got less than 100,000 Ks. It's perfect. Hasn't been serviced all year and then the transmission fucking dies anyway.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to play that game.
Yeah.
So if someone could
sure these random strangers will be very nice to you.
They're very nice
to you in the comments.
Exactly.
Well, how much can they screw him over? Like, he himself screws him over.
Yeah.
They're right.
Two stranger is a better option, but let's start the pod now that you've
PS, thanks.
Start a GoFundMe page.
Listening.
Maybe we should start a GoFundMe page for Miss Love.
It's getting sadder. He's coughing.
I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the GoFundMe.
All right, first segment. Who's been following the Drake v. Kendrick Lamar?
I don't know anything about it, but I'm really curious.
Okay.
Do you know anything about it?
I of course vaguely you don't. Know who Kendrick Lamar
yeah,
is.
Yeah, right.
So Kendrick Lamar, well, let's start from the beginning. Drake kind of like never liked Kendrick. He pretended to like Kendrick, but as soon as he released his first album, he was like, all right, I know Kendrick, this album was all right, but let's see what he does next. I'd be curious to see, because I don't know if he can do anything next. And so they've just been like in this constant like Cold War state. And then Drake.
The real Russia. War.
Kendrick.
No,
Kendrick.
Man, Drake is Russia, as you will find out as the story progresses. Right. Drake basically did a diss track. It first started off as like being like, both of them like, you ain't black enough. Like Drake's point of view was like, man, what have you done for the hip hop game? Tell me, what have you done for the hip-hop game? It's all about you and your stuff. It's like, you ain't done nothing for the community. You ain't done nothing for the genre. And then Kendrick...
What has Drake done? What has Drake done? Hotline
Bling. Made rap elevator music, man.
and Kendrick's initial diss was...
I got a lot of ass. I live to give.
Yeah, Kendrick.
I have a lot of unofficial children.
Kendrick's initial diss was, man, you ain't even black, man.
Fair diss.
Like, stop
Fair
saying diss. The N-word, dude. You can't say that shit. He's like, who the hell are you? And saying like, so like, and then Drake went like, took it one step further, and he was like, man, what was something like? He claimed that in his songs, obviously, that Kendrick's wife had an affair with Kendrick's best friend, and that Kendrick's child is actually his best friend's child.
Right.
Mm.
And that pissed off Kendrick.
It's a very hood conspiracy.
That pissed off Kendrick. So Kendrick basically, it all started with like, you ain't black and you ain't that. And then like Kendrick just dropped the P bomb, which is like, man, you're a pedophile. Like, what are you saying?
To Drake.
To Drake.
Yeah, well, apparently.
Say that? Or?
Yeah, check this out. So he says like a bunch of stuff. Like, you're a pedophile. There's people in your team that are pedophile. You're like, you know, just like old R. Kelly shit. And also he said that you have like a 10-year-old daughter that you've never told of. I know, like, there's enough leaks in your team. Your team is basically telling me all this shit. Own up to your daughter and stuff like that. So he does all of this. And then Drake comes out. He's like, hey, I don't have a daughter.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think the pedophile thing is, like, known with him. It's just like 16 too old sort of thing.
Dude.
Whoa, not what? 16 too old, but I think, like, 19 pushing it sort of thing. I think.
Known?
I think so.
I think there's been rumors out there. And like, I recently found out something. I will not tell you who told me this, as Jory can understand. But I was recently told that by someone that one of their high school friends had sex with Drake when right. he came oh, yeah. to Sydney.
Really?
And check this out. The girl that he had sex with weighs like over 105 kilos or some shit.
Respect.
And so she's like big. And apparently like a Drake was at a club and he was like, I want me some fat ass tonight.
No. I think the quote was, I want something big.
Yeah. I want something big tonight. And this girl was like, I'm big. And he's like, yo, dude.
Oh my God. Big personality.
Yeah, they had sex. So he's clearly a sex addict. We know that.
Yeah,
much.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
all
yeah,
rappers but I mean, are.
Come on.
But this girl, in how his defense, Kendrick was not underage yeah. or anything.
Kendrick actually is a sex addict. He made like an album, like I'm a sex addict, like a thing. He is.
Why are they trying to get pity for being a sex addict?
Well,
why is this a trend within rap?
Well, I think it's more the pedo core.
I don't know if it's like, I think it's just a flex. They're pretending it's like, oh, I've got problem. But like, the main thing is they're having a lot of sex.
Right.
Either that or they're hoping that their wife listens to their album.
And why?
Like, just in case you look at my DM, just know I got a problem.
Yeah.
That might be
so
it.
Wait, Drake was just like, hey, I don't have a daughter. So then was Kendrick just like, cased? Wiggity closed.
Nah, he ended up like after 3-4 days. After 3-4 days, his defense was, "Man, I'm too famous to be a pedophile. What are you talking about?
All right.
You think if I was a pedophile, I'd still be doing this? I'd be caught before."
He could have.
Yeah. There's many, many examples in history.
I was gonna say like he could have just linked Epstein, like a photo of him, just being like.
Or R. Kelly, who just
yeah, but he didn't do anything to change rap game.
Fuck, I think Drake lost this one. Surely,
dude, Drake lost this one from every metric. I was watching this like extreme, like they say he's the greatest Drake fan, and he was on some like radio show, and they're asking him, "So, what do you think about this beef?" And he was like, "Because the interviewer was like, if you look at the likes and dislike ratio, if you look at the views, if you look at all of that shit." It's pretty easy to say Kendrick won this one. But what do you have to say? And he's like, it's a close one, but Kendrick's up a little bit at the moment.
Dude, and purely from a street cred level, like Kendrick came from the streets of Compton. Kendrick has killed a motherfucker. He like killed a guy. I don't know if he's not in jail, but killed a motherfucker.
Drake is from Degrassi High.
Literally, is half Jewish and from a rich family
from Canada.
In Canada. It's like, dude, just from the get-go, someone's going to win and someone's from a society that's just kind of like, if I lived on the streets, I'd probably get a better wage than if I worked.
Yeah.
And in LA, like, he's rolling in Compton, literally killing people, being extremely poor and dealing drugs. Like, dude, someone's already winning.
But like, but Drake's, you know how Drake got famous?
Degrassi.
From like those girls that get white girl wasted. That's his entire like,
genre.
Yeah, that's his genre.
Yeah, it's like,
he started
the whole thing being like, you can be a gangster rapper and have the feels, which respect, but But nevertheless,
I ain't hating on his game.
Yeah, I ain't hating on that. Hotline Bling, but like in terms of cred,
I'm hating on Hotline Bling. That was fucked.
I'm not hating on it, but like from the creds, man. Like Kendrick wins straight up.
Yeah, but I feel
from the streets.
I'm kind of with, like, as long as like his pedophile shit isn't true. But I'm with Drake now.
Why?
Underdog, man. Come on.
Nah, he's not an
hammered out there.
How's he the underdog?
Everyone in the world supports Kendrick for some reason.
Yeah, but you can't. Yeah, but that's a lame way to think about it, dude. He's the underdog. It's like they're both very rich men.
Yeah, but dude, one of them very is about successful. To go to jail.
Who? Drake.
Yeah, they've launched an investigation. This beef got real, bro.
Oh shit!
As soon as like he said that he's a pedophile, and like some people were saying that there's rumors and stuff, there's now a full on investigation.
Holy shit!
There's nothing really you can do if someone accuses you of being a pedophile. There's no way out of it. I think the only thing that you can do is just being like, yeah, well, I heard rumored that you also. that's all you can do.
So what Trudeau's opening up a case, but like, I think it is very clear that the government is taking this very seriously. So what's happening?
Surely. But then I suppose it's just like, you can never come to Canada again. And Drake's like, dude,
I don't want to. That much everyone anymore. Leaves. Anyone that's successful that's Canadian leaves. Yeah. All of them.
Yeah. And I can fully understand why going there.
Yeah.
How come Justin Trudeau didn't leave?
Because he's got clout. His dad danced behind
Justin
the
Trudeau
queen.
Enters the beef.
Can you imagine? Well, dude, they just show, they'd be like,
neither of y'all black. Yeah. And then it just cuts to his like
blackface. Exactly. It it wouldn't work. Because they'd be like, man, you did blackface. Fuck off. Like, yes, but I'm bringing a very... There's an Indian guy in my cabinet.
He's got a turban. He's got a turban. He's legit.
God.
Dude, I didn't realize how fun that beef would be.
So whose side are you on?
Come on.
Yeah, well, dude, like, I don't know, man. Because, like, I just, look, truth be known, I really hate both of them. they're just such douchebags, both of them. And they don't have something kind of redeemable about themselves. Like, Snoop Dogg has a voice where you think, all right, well, that's clearly, he's clearly an angel that has descended from the heavens. He's got something unique. But when I look at both Drake and Kendrick Lamar, all I could ever think is, your producer just accidentally switched a couple of mixes correctly, and then there was a bunch of, again, like a bunch of drunk chicks who were like, yeah! And that's how they changed the game.
Yeah, but like you've got to... Okay, Drake is overtly a sellout, mainstream, white girl wasted rapper. Which is not good, but at least he's up front. Kendrick has this like aura that I'm alternative.
He is though.
How can he be alternative? He's so
big. The entire world loves you.
He's good kid, mad shitty.
How can you be alternative when Triple J, FBI, freaking... Every radio station plays
when you're
on
commercial
on
radio,
loop.
You can't call still, the I'm alternative.
I mean,
you can't
it's still,
do it anymore.
Still like weird, already rap, you know?
Is it?
Yeah. Definitely like Good Kid, Mad City was crazy, man. That shit was crazy. Straight up.
I didn't know that you knew anything about rap apart from like, one, you sure mix a lot?
One of our mutual friends got me into him. And I will say... Now he's getting like too. Your argument is true. It's true. You can't be. I get what you're saying. Can you be alternative if you're like wildly mainstream popular?
Oh, I forgot one thing. But one major aspect of this beef, which was hilarious. At one point, when like Drake realized that like no one is supporting him, he got like some AI dude to like get what? Tupac to support him in the song. So like an AI voice of Tupac is like, Drake be rad, Kendrick ain't shit.
That is ridiculous. Are you
all
serious?
All right, I'm on Kendrick's side. That's just, that is so desperate. That is the saddest thing I've ever.
Oh my God.
That is like taking it to the next level when someone goes into an alternate account online to start liking their comments.
Oh yeah, it is that. Bringing back someone from the dead. To be like, he rat.
And like, yeah, what the hell? What to say to Kendrick being like, she, man, Tupac on my Tupac is going to be on the side of a Canadian Jew.
Exactly. Tupac's from Compton, isn't he?
Yeah, you can't. Look, he's the underdog. And like some underdogs, they need to be put down.
Yeah,
There's no way that you can support him after that. That's...
I'm on... Like,
pedophile accusations aside, that is so lame, dude.
Yeah, that is a bit lame. No, I'm on, I gotta be on Kendrick's side, but I get what you're saying.
I think Kendrick also said, like, you're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, but what else can you say that? But it's, like, too sad. You can't even engage that.
You can't.
All you can do is just shake your head. That's the ultimate comeback to that.
Also, I haven't heard any new Drake. I'm not in this game, but like I can only imagine what like Drake's latest song sounds like, apart from that one. And I can only imagine that it's like discernible from like, you know, I don't know, like Doja Cat's latest song. You know, you just know it's going to... Because if you're going... This is the problem. If you start from a place of being like, I'm making pop music, like, you know, like poppy rap, if that's where you start, the only place you can really go is more poppy. And it's like, we don't... That's okay, you know? You know what I mean? I'm so sick of people just being like, pop's not a dirty word. It's like, nah, it kind of is though after a while. It's just annoying. It's just... lame. It's just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bring it back to the streets.
Same thing every time. It's
like, you know, yeah, like it happened.
That's just a hipster, because pop just means popular. So it's a hipster take.
Yeah. I mean, pop means popular is just like a Down syndrome take. It's just like, yes, it means that. But like, I'm talking about like what it means. Like indie just means independent, but it's like a type of music. Same thing as pop. You know what I mean? Like it's a type of music.
Yeah, but like
has characteristics.
Was like, okay, this is a question.
Do you know what I mean?
Was jazz pop in the 60s
or 50s? I mean, I guess.
And I guess what he's saying is there's poppy jazz, and then there was alternative jazz.
Yeah,
it's just mashing a.
But I'm just but like in 2024, pop is a thing, and it's like there's a strict formula, and it's so easy to achieve, and everyone's doing it. Strict What's set of rules.
I don't think it's a strict formula. I think it's like the same people writing all the songs.
No, dude, it's not the same.
Yeah, here's the question though: if you went
like all of these singers, like you know, even back in the day, like Britney Spears, they were like constantly getting the same writers to write all of their songs. So a song that was written for Britney might have been sung by Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, stuff now this like is crossover, that. But like you know, like the new. Yeah, so sad I know this, but like the new Dua Lipa albums, like Kevin Parker made it, and it's like he's some kid from Perth who makes psych rock, and it just sounds like fucking, you know, Madonna or something. It's just a formulaic thing, you know what I mean? It's very formulaic.
So are you sad?
Could you do it?
Kevin Parker selling
out? Yes, I am. He's not selling out, but yes, I'm sad.
Do you reckon that you could ghostwrite Dua Lipa's album?
I reckon it wouldn't be that hard, dude.
Okay.
This is, it's like a page of rules. And it's just like, all right, 808s, like, you know, pop formula, like, first chorus, like, fucking, slap bass, just really high production level. Yeah. It's done.
Man, wouldn't that be great if the next smash hit is called Please Check Out Forest Hall on Spotify?
It still wouldn't help me. No one to check it out.
Yeah, no.
They'd just be like, yeah, this is sick.
Yay, I love Dua Lipa. No, there was a hidden mission.
He'd be like, Dua, could you also play?
Sorry, I didn't
I need
go-
a car. Can you also put that in the album?
I did. Sorry.
Or Joel, check him out and also do a car.
I didn't want to go full music autist down in that route. Sorry. But I'm just saying.
But here's the difference.
I'm just saying, like, you know, like, yeah, that pop.
Kendrick and Drake.
It's very similar.
Is there
a
difference between their audiences? Because I would imagine...
Not now.
You go there and it's nothing but white. It's going to a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah, totally. Dude, you guys are right. Now they're both... If you reach... Look, musical semantics aside, if you reach that level of fame, yeah, dude, it's so similar. So similar. Same audience.
Drake says... I think technically speaking... Look, I'm not an expert on this, but I feel like Kendrick is more of like, you know, hardcore rapper. Whereas Drake is more R&B,
I think. Yeah, totally, yeah. It's like Kendrick's still got a little bit of that street shit. And he is making music like that is more avant-garde. Like, my mate showed me this album he has, and it's like every song, it's like the song is like every, like the whole, there's like a poem he says, and each song of us, the poem starts a song, which writes a song, and then the second song is the second line of the poem, and then he uses the whole thing and then makes a second song out of that poem. And then by the end, it's like the poem's done. It's like weird. It's a weird, interesting, weird shit. Like Drake's not doing that. Drake's just...
I gotta learn again.
So like, I agree with you. Like, fuck, you know, fuck them all. Like, it's just like, whatever. Like, big... This is like mainstream as, but like, you know, there's still some weirdness going on with Kendrick. Whereas Drake, I reckon, just, I can only imagine he just does a line and just goes in the studio. He's just like got 10 writers and it's like, pew, 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 pew. And then just like, all right, I'm going to sing about like this chick that like she's hot, but she's not hot enough for me, but that makes her hot enough. Okay, let's. And then like, as they're writing it, you know, Drake stalks. It's like, brrr. And it's just like, you know, like literally as he goes like peer, peer on an 808 or whatever, it's just like, and it's just like, man, it's just, I'm too good for the game. Let's go to like an ice hockey game. You know what I mean? That's how I imagine it goes.
Ice hockey.
Go Toronto Raptors, you know? That's how I imagine it goes. And I imagine the Kendrick thing's very similar, except there's no coke involved and there's a lot of like kids, dudes from LA still now, like kids that gangbang with hoods on, just sitting in the corner being like, and occasionally they're like, what the fuck you said? Get the fuck off of me. And then like pulls out his gun. It's like, yo, sit down, man. Sit down, man. I told you you can't pull out your gat in the studio no more. And he's like, that's cool, man. That's cool. That's cool. That's right. And he has to keep them around to keep
him. Let's
go around
to an ice hockey game.
Yo, man, I heard Drake's going to be there. Yeah, I hope that motherfucker's there. I hope he's there.
Yeah, okay, get your Glock, yeah.
Yeah, that's the difference. Kendrick is still packing. Huh? Guarantee it. Tell me in the comments if I'm wrong.
Yeah, Drake's not packing.
No way.
No, Drake's not packing.
He doesn't.
If he's ever in that scene, he'll immediately, like his entire audience, get that same octave as White Chicks and be like, security!
Yeah. That's what I think.
Or just take out a pepper spray. Do not, you dare.
Totally. Yeah. He's hey, got. Drake's no got means, pepper spray. No. Yeah, Drake's got pepper spray. Kendrick still has one guy in his thing that has a fucking Glock. I guarantee it.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
And Kendrick's like this weird eccentric that like, you know, occasionally he'd be backstage and be like, yo, Tyrone, like what? Like, give me that gun. And then just be like, what? And then just like, he'll just be like, holding, you know, he'd be like, give me that. And be like, hold it to my head. I'm like, you crazy, man. I'm like, do it. And he's like, and he's just like holding to his head. And it's like, yay, yay. And then it's like, all right, I'm ready to go on stage. You know? You know what I mean? That's what I see when I see Kendrick.
Rap is the dance of life and death.
That's the kind, that's what he said. That's the shit he says.
What?
You just turned into it.
Okay, right.
That's the kind of shit he says.
Easy to vibe it out.
Yeah, he's like gangster poet. He's like, on the streets, Chick-fil-A up in these beach, gonna kill it down on South Central, gonna down to the mall, shoot it up. It's just like, ooh, edgy, you know? That's Kendrick.
All right, I think we've exhausted the length of
all right, but you know, I was enjoying the journey.
Sorry.
Now,
I've wasted my life.
Who's ready to, who's, well, I mean, clearly not one guy.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Do they agree with my hot take or not?
I don't know if they agree with it, but I think your stabbing have nice Miss Love spitting. I think they agree with you, Miss.
Yeah, cool.
Radical optimism has been on my... Oh,
that's Dua Lipa. No, that's Dua Lipa, yeah.
I have no interest in hip-hop, lol, so I don't care. Come on, everyone has some interest in hip-hop. It's otherwise, you're not cool. You're just...
Yeah.
What interests you? Mozart? Ali the Tupac voice was a stab at Kendrick because that's his idol. Yeah, but he's also like... make believe getting this like that dead is, guy to is, take his side. It doesn't mean Tupac is like every rapper's idol. Like it's I'm sure Drake also loves him, you know. It's just like he wanted to use someone who wasn't alive to defend themselves.
Yeah.
Kendrick's more of like not a pedo and Drake's more like a pedo. That's
profound.
Okay. Ali the Tupac. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, let's start with the react phase.
Yeah.
The stick sent us like a couple of things to react to. Who's ready?
Yeah. Whoa, look at that. Is that what he's done? The three cameras? Yeah, it looks
mad. That's my editing artist boy.
That's amazing.
Thank you, by the way, if you're watching. We love you.
Just
to the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
New headphones.
TikToks.
I can barely read that. Chick refuses to date guys who drives these kinds of cars.
Well, hey, imagine trouble, miss.
Honda Civic.
Yeah. Well, I can't hear anything. And that concludes React.
I'm sorry, but if a guy picks me up in certain cars for a date, I'm just not going. Like, I'm just not going. Like, I'm sorry, but you can't tell me if someone pulls up in this. Hold on, put it on the screen. Hold on. This Prius. No, I'd rather not go on a date. I'm sorry. I know the type of person you are. Like, I can tell by the car you drive what kind of person you're going to be. Wait, I'll show you another. And this is for the boys, too. If y'all drive these cars, you need to reevaluate yourself. Because, anyways, let me show you another car. The only person that should drive this is my 90-year-old grandpa.
I drive that. That's the
only person. Okay, hold on. One more. I've got one more.
Is that a Jeep?
Yeah.
Be for real. Also, this picture makes me laugh. But, like, why'd you get that? I'm sorry, but...
Well, that was a completely redundant waste of time.
I mean,
thoughts.
Do I have any? Do you?
Yeah, I got thoughts.
Yeah, what are
you? You should be glad you're dating someone that can afford a car, lady. Right? This in this economy, Jesus Christ, unbelievable. the entitlement. These TikTok people are just they're ridiculous. They're off to Richter.
Do cars?
It hit my insecurity immediately.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the Prius?
Same.
And what's wrong?
But she didn't say why that's a bad thing.
And what's wrong with the Ute?
You know what she's doing? She's trying to get hate clicks. See, once because it's such an easy way to get clicks. Because now all the people that drive those cars go, "Hey, I'm cool, and I drive that car." And then she's just—that's just what she's doing.
Yeah, and we've fallen for it.
Yeah, we have.
Do cars?
And I'm still pissed.
Yeah, me too.
What's the verdict on this? Do cars get you laid if you've got a nice car?
She's saying that's what happens.
Maybe in America.
Oh yeah, I mean,
come on! I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
They're not like a different.
Dude, I tell you one thing. I've met a lot of leb girls that find it attractive.
Kind of odd, dude. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, a good car in Western Sydney is probably essential.
Yeah, yeah. Like I think leb ladies love it. That's why, like, boys that are like 22 have like get loans to get a Mercedes or whatever, just so they, I guess, can get laid.
Yeah.
Hey, what you are spent, they, bower birds? Why do they care?
You spent a big chunk on your car.
I did. But I
and then you got paid out by that chick.
Yeah,
and you did not spend a little amount for that.
Yeah, I spent
Jesus.
Some amount, yes.
Just to be indirectly laughed at on TikTok.
Fuck, no fair.
All right, one more.
Brutal.
I actively disagree with what she says. The povier your car, the cooler you are. That's what I actually think. Unless you have a Tesla, because then you just like supersede that and it's like, they're fucking rad. But anything under that...
No, or you're a wank. People
don't... Don't you think, though, that anybody that's driving a Tesla isn't sexy, though? It's not a sexy car.
It's not a sexy car, It's an efficient car.
It's a... What is it? It's like, I wish I was in Silicon Valley car.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what it is. Or I'm just gonna...
So you will be very attractive to...
Successful people.
Yeah, let's just be honest. Just Asian chicks.
Pretty much.
Which is why you got it. Let's be real.
But I think that's what's cool about Australia is like we don't judge each other in our cars. Like beating again, that piece
it of depends
shit.
What part of Australia you're from. If you're from the North Shore or the Eastern Suburbs, you're right.
Yeah.
But if you're from the West, they judge you hard.
Yeah, in the West they judge. In the West,
there's a thing of the working class sees cars as a immediate status symbol.
Yeah, it is.
Is that what's happening there? It's an indicator that your credit's good enough to at least get the loan car.
Did you want to hear some like crazy fact? Do you know who buys the most amount of Mercedes per capita in the US?
Libs.
Black people. And do you know who's the poorest community based per capita in the US?
White people. No, I'm
Asians.
Joking. I'm joking. Yeah, I mean, black look, people. It's just how it goes. Like, the poorer you are,
the more it becomes a status symbol. You know what rich people consider to be a big status symbol? How fucking fancy and big your house is.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, they're dealing at, like, a different level. If you're a working class person, your idea of making it is, like, oh, I get, like, a Mercedes. If you're at, like, elite, your idea of making it is, like, I have Da Vinci's.
But what about elite? I remember you saying that if you're from old money, they don't care how big your house is. They see you having a big house like we see you buying a Mustang.
Yeah, true. But they like, see right. They consider it to be a bigger deal than a car.
Of course.
But for them, everyone has big houses. It's like the weird sort of collectibles that you can get, like something that like Da Vinci's.
Yeah.
Like that's why someone bought a Da Vinci painting for $498 million, a painting that is disputed whether it's actually even Da Vinci or not.
So the old Paul Keating meme is correct. Like the true God-tier old money way of looking at status can be summed up as fuck modernity. Acquire antique clutch. That's how rich people think.
Can that be,
is that the deal?
Yeah, I think so.
Can that be extended to guitars?
Yeah, what? What you think you go to King Charles and be like, is that a Fender?
Yeah.
I haven't seen one of these. What if I have a ding, 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 good tone, good tone.
I mean, we have one more thing to react to.
That would be amazing.
71, good year.
Great vintage indeed.
Ironically, one more not a good year one for Fender. The 70s was a bad year for Fender. 60s was a good year. I take that back. I'm sorry.
Yeah. King Charles saying that. How dare you? 1971 vintage.
I wasn't born yesterday.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
What's your craziest sex confession?
So one time, my best friend and I, we were talking to a guy and his roommate, and we were really bored, and while they were sleeping, we tied them both up, laid them on their stomach, and we both ate their ass.
Isn't that a rape?
It wasn't rape because they both enjoyed it.
What if the roast was reversed then?
That would be fucked up, I guess. All right.
You know that would be fucked up.
I'm going to drop the mic on this.
You know you fucked up.
It's gotta be Miami. It's gotta be Miami.
What's this Congolese man doing in Miami? What happened there?
He's just hanging out. That
man,
is
the new world is weird. It's just like that's just a little 15-second piece of entertainment.
I don't understand if like the internet's made people more crazy or if it's just you can see more crazy people because of the internet.
I've been reading a prophetic book about it.
Are you serious?
Everybody,
War and Peace,
Culture of Narcissism.
That's what it's called.
Readable book,
written by Pauline Hanson. Who wrote it?
Wouldn't that be so good?
I just had to say it. Okay, who wrote it?
With a foreword of whoever that Pakistani green chief. Finally, something they can agree.
Coming
on.
Together, yeah. Who wrote that? I'm putting my phone.
Christopher Lash. You got to check it out.
It's freaking me out.
It's a prophetic point. He was writing this in the 70s. What's it called again? He wrote it in 2015.
What's it called again?
Culture of Narcissism.
I'm just going to find that. Yeah.
It's incredible. Listen to this point. There's a million amazing truth bombs in it. But the one that I was reading recently, because it's talking about entertainment, and you see that happening right there.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same as what's happened with my career as well. You can't not do it.
Mm.
When I started out, I was trying to make arty skits and I was trying to do
Kendrick
art, in a dumb YouTube way. But it was trying to be some.
No, it was art.
Pushing the boundaries, doing something that wasn't happening before. But you cannot make money off of that anymore. You can't.
Shit.
What you get money off of, and this is amazing, is he's saying this in the 70s. Entertainment is being replaced with spectacle.
Damn.
Doesn't that say a lot?
Damn.
Less and less when it comes to the entertainment industry, everything else, but he was saying that because he's just going through every aspect of society and saying how a narcissistic society is morphing it. But he's saying, and this was fucking 50 years ago at this point? He was saying.
And it still applies. It's not just like bell bottoms will ruin the country.
We just saw it then.
No.
It was a multi-viral thing. And what happened was just like, I just ate my boyfriend's ass. We tied him up.
I raped him. Yeah. I understand that. Anyway, go on. Yeah.
That is going to get so many more views than someone sitting around, slaving away, figuring out how to do ballet well. Every time.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
He's saying that skill is getting replaced with whoever can just be like, in front of people and everyone goes like,
yeah.
So there's no appreciation because he's saying that everything is just becoming less and less skill-based. Isn't this an incredible insight? the more that society is modernizing, the more that it is getting mechanized, the more that things are getting systematized, you aren't rewarded. You never were really rewarded for blue collar work. You're not being rewarded for white collar work as well, because when these bureaucratic systems are working by themselves, you don't. Everyone's kind of interchangeable. So what is put a premium on everything now is personality. That's your new skill in this day and age. You just give off this pleasing image. That's right. How you rise up in these institutions, is just giving off the facade that you're like interesting and nice.
But that was this also never, that was also kind of always true, where it's just kind of like your personality was always, it always superseded skill unless you're a fucking surgeon. But like any, you know what I mean? It was always dominant.
No, not back in the day. I mean, right. It was great. Being skillful was, having a great personality obviously is going to get you on the rise. But he's just saying that skills just aren't, they're becoming less and less important.
Right.
And that's happening in the arts. Skills
that people still need? Like, you know, coding and shit.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You're saying that you're not rewarded, like, handsomely for skills. Because some people still have, like, dude, you need a plumber to fix your pipes. Like, it's a skill.
Mm.
Wesley pipes.
He's making more money than the plumber.
And as they're saying, like, they're still necessary. He's saying that they're getting replaced.
Yeah, right.
And when we get into this AI world where robots are doing everything, what is going to differentiate you? It's purely just being able to grab someone's attention for a split fucking second. That's all you're going to have.
Because, like, you don't have any other purpose.
So is it just
no other purpose?
So is it just going to be idiocracy? There will be no art and skills.
It's already happened. We're there. That's it. I mean, what are we doing right now on this podcast?
True.
We're sitting there reacting to people going like, ah,
yeah. Yeah.
Why are we doing it? Because we know that retention is going to go up.
Fuck.
There's no need for anyone to be doing anything of value anymore.
Fuck.
And so he's saying that society is just on this upward march of becoming more and more vapid. It's not even an idiocracy thing. It's a thing of nothing has any meaning or value over what immediately fucking grabs your attention, and that's it.
Yeah, that's why, like, people, Jesus, you look at, like, Christ, these new YouTubers and streamers, their entire model is to just, like,
shock.
Because that's a shocking thing is only, yeah, no wonder people are stabbing people, because that's getting,
exactly, it's shocking. Exactly, it's the most shocking thing you can do.
All of a sudden, everyone's paying attention to you. And I feel bad for the Perth guy because, like, his thunder got stolen by a few other people before him. Yeah,
and also RIP, he's Gonski's. But,
Yes. Very, very but, lost member of humanity.
But it's, if you look at thumbnails now on YouTube, it's every single time two, like, people just going, no. And it's just like, we ate the most expensive cheeseburger in New York. And it's like, and it worked. Well, I mean, look, for me, it works half the time because I'm still this freak that, maybe I'm not a freak, but I'm this person that would rather watch someone be like, mise en place, find out how to make a really good quail. It goes for 30 minutes. I'd still rather watch that. But like that reptilian part of most people's brains wants to watch the, just like, oh, how big is it? Oh, let's see. It must be fucking crazy. And then, you know, and the reactions are always like, it's so good. It's just so dumb.
There's nothing to it.
There's nothing to it.
Nothing.
Nothing. It's there's nothing. Nothing to, there's no value. There's no, you don't learn anything.
Even like content creators that don't necessarily play the same game, they do it with their titles and thumbtack.
Yeah.
I saw a video of some guy whose title was, I went bear hunting for the most endangered species in the world. And I click on it because I'm like, what the fuck? And then it's like, oh yeah, just when I say hunting, I mean like spotting.
Yeah. They just lie.
Yeah.
Jesus, it's not good. That's not good.
No, it's a really, really scary, prophetic book.
I'm gonna read it.
You know what they're talking about in politics? So true. This is why you have the rise of these shitty minor parties as well. You're saying that it started in the Nixon era, and it is obviously just on the march, but what they were saying is that it is not so much what is important anymore in terms of delivering to the public. That's not what's important. What obsesses politicians, we all know this now, but he was saying this in the 70s. What obsesses politicians is purely the image of being capable. So when a very good example of
PR,
this is...
PR.
Like, that's the whole game is PR now. And, of course, I don't blame politicians for that. It is just... That is all people care about. A very good way of summarizing the book is thinking is getting replaced with a vibe.
Yeah, just look at...
Vibing.
Look at the American election. All the talking points are like, Joe Biden is making gaffes. Joe Biden did this.
Exactly.
Trump said this.
Exactly.
It's like there's discussion of policy. Do we even know what the policy differences are?
No, it's all just Trump is very mean.
Yeah.
He's very erratic.
Yes. And the policy is always like, just look at what's happening at the border. I was like... That's not a policy. That's you watching Fox News.
You can't even find the policies.
No.
Where do you find the policies? Where on YouTube are you going to find the policies?
There will be a couple of niche political nerd channels like Kyle Kalinske that will be endlessly banging on about the same points of policy. But in terms of the general melee of what they are talking about in America, it is nothing but personality, the entire thing, constantly.
Already.
And so they're always talking about this thing of, this was a thing that started coming about in the 70s, and it was never, ever discussed before. It just started being invented then. And we're talking about Nixon suffering from a credibility gap. This is what they started focusing on. Just, it's not whether what he is saying is true or false, it's, does it give off the perception of being true? And so what they're saying now is politicians, and I understand this as a political commentator all the time, I push forward and say it anyway, but there is this constant back and forth of you're in the studio and people say, people aren't going to like this point. And I'm like, but it's true. And they're like, does it fucking matter anymore? Does it matter if it's true? People just want the vibe of it feeling correct. That's what they're looking for. And so when he's talking about something like Watergate, one of his main chief of staff, he was saying something along the lines of Watergate didn't happen. And then he said to the press after that, my statements are no longer, what was the word? My statements, it was something along the lines of my statements are no longer convenient or something like that. And the press took that to mean he's saying Watergate, now when I look back at it, is wrong. Like what I was saying was wrong and Watergate is correct. No, what he was saying is that my lie no longer seems credible to the public. So I have to come up with a different lie. This is the world that we're living in now. It is purely a world of aesthetic.
Yes.
Dude, if that's the case, I think we can be sure that Peter Dutton isn't winning because his personality sucks balls.
Absolutely. Now, I'm glad that that's the case, but guess what is the best predictor of a politician winning? Guess.
Vibe.
Big
that's
dick
a good
energy.
Way of putting it. Big dick energy. But it all goes like, if you go back to the meta of
perception.
It.
Perception.
Trust. It's just who does the public trust more? True. What vibe do they give off? This is the reason that Scott Morrison lost. They give all these like other like analysis, but it's purely just people looked at him and thought, he's a bit of a shit cunt.
Yeah.
That was what lost. Yeah. There is a million reasons that he deserved to fucking lose. Yeah. But it's just purely that he's got an annoying face. He kind of like a boomer version of Neon. You feel like punching him in the head when you look at him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Jesus Christ. It's so true. Is it because of technology though? Is it because of the internet? Or is it
he's saying that this is the amazing thing that now I'm reading all of these writers that I've never tangibly it's been something in the back of my mind, but it's all coming together now. And it did actually start with, who's that guy that everyone sits there and says, he was really evil, but had some points. It's a very Hitler argument. The Unibomber.
Oh, I thought you were going to say George Bush.
George Bush has some points.
The
Unibomber.
What do you mean? Which Unibomber?
This is interesting as well. This is exactly what David McBride was talking about with generals. I was amazed at this. He was saying a general's job is not to win a war. A general's job is to give off the perception that you're winning the war.
Mm.
That's their job these days. That's how you get there. You're just basically like the general of public perception.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
you're just the head of a fucking PR agency.
Mm.
Yeah. If you look at like even just the Ukraine war, like if you ask any random American or some Westerner, they think either that Ukraine is like giving a fight to their life or the fact that like the West is just winning when in reality, like, Russia is hammering But yeah, the perception isn't that. Like, the whole, it's all about PR and marketing.
Yeah, it's such a war. A strong thing.
As they say, the first casualty of war is
the truth.
Yeah, damn. Yeah. That's a mad quote. Yeah.
But they've understood that, and PR has become such a professional science now that it's not like a side thing that they focus. Like, that is the main game. The main game of a war is to give off the impression that you're winning it. There's no, like, strategy is something that you give to the boffins.
Mm. I think part of that is for, like, motivate the morale of your own forces too, right? You don't want your forces to know that you're losing.
They would know. They're there.
Well, the ones that are at the front lines definitely do because they're getting hammered. But the ones that are, like, doing support stuff, they don't need to know.
They would know because the frontline troops go home.
Yeah.
They talk about that stuff. Yeah. What it is for is purely career advancement, which is exactly what he's talking about when it comes to bureaucracy, when it comes to every institution, when it comes to the managerial class. When he's talking about management now, he's saying that the entire point of being a manager is to just, like, it doesn't matter if you're getting results or not as a manager anymore.
Yeah.
Same thing with the CEO. It's just like the CEO. Yeah. The CEOs now are kind of like baseball cards. You just collect them off this kind of, like, are they hot property or not?
They don't really
look at their results anymore because they're just part of this elite club of other CEOs that sit around and talk to each other. And because these businesses are so fucking big and they can't fail, really what you're doing, again, is just if you're a likable CEO and you're talking to another likable CEO, there's more of a chance of you making a deal together and making a big fucking merger. Yeah. So that's what they're looking for.
I've seen this happen in real time. One of my friends who's like an idiot, but his dad has a big business in Pakistan. So when he, like, graduated uni, his dad said that you're going to, like, come and work for me because eventually you have to replace me. But he's, like, I know my friend. He's going to run that place down, and it's, like, dumb. So I asked him, I was like, how are you managing it? He's like, this is what happens. There's a lot of people around, and whenever a decision needs to be made, I go, what do you guys think? And they say, we think this. And I said, I think we should do it.
Yeah.
And now they've gone to a point where, like, it's basically on autopilot where there's, like, a formalized hierarchy where he's at the top, but he's just chilling, really. he's getting, like, the institution itself just to run. Which means when his dad's dead and after a few, maybe a decade or something, the business is going to go down. But at the moment, it doesn't really matter. Like, how good he is or how bad he is.
I mean,
it's a systematized machine. Like, like every single field of human endeavor now has been so mechanized. And I'm not even talking about mechanized in terms of machinery. I'm talking about this person does this very... It's actually what Karl Marx was talking about. Like, just making sure that all of these components are working so it does operate as a machine. So you make sure that this person just focuses on HR. This person just focuses on marketing. This person just focuses on business returns. It's all a fucking machine. It all just runs by itself. But what he's saying is slowly throughout time, even those jobs of being HR manager, managerial class has pretty much the same things going for it that CEOs do now, where it is just this perception of he appears to be doing a good job.
Yeah. You know? But that has always been a thing to a degree. Like, even, like, everyone sees with their eyes first. Like, even, like, you know, the stock market, some people will just be like, this company gives off a good vibe and I think that'll do well. They're not, you know what I mean? Like, I think generally people do that.
The people that do well in stock market are people like Warren Buffett, who sits there all day reading fucking quarterly reports.
Exactly. And says exactly. Wrong in this totally. Totally. This. Yeah. 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 Like, that's still important. But what you're saying is, more and more so, people are just going on.
Dude, more and more. I think that job is going to be replaced by AI to a certain extent. I don't think you can analyze more annual reports than a fucking supercomputer.
Not a chance.
Man,
you can't micro-trade as quick. You can't pick up a phone and say, I want to buy this stock and this stock. You can't even do it clicking on a button quicker than AI can.
Yeah.
Jordan, while I was like, because I've started to like edit the podcast again after a while, man, there's like AI tools where all editors' jobs are definitely going to go.
That's soon. Already happening. Because it's already
like,
happening.
There's like softwares that can like literally transcribe your entire video. Like if it's a podcast, it'll give you line by line. You don't even edit the video. You just backspace the words that you don't want. It's going to automatically edit it into the thing and seamlessly put it together. It's just, it's, you have to pay for these. These are all subscription, but it's like, what, $10 a month or something? Mm.
Do you find this impressive? I don't know if you will, but for my album that like I put out, the image was like cropped in a way where it was like not, it wasn't a perfect square. You need like a perfect square for an album. So I put the image into this AI program and it can predict what, like it takes what is on the edges of the image and just extends them perfectly.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it just made it a square, the image. So it just artificially extended the water just here.
Predicted what it's going to look like.
Yeah, a rock here. Yeah. And it looks like it's literally undetectable. And see, it now saved again, me.
This is something that even a couple of years ago, a very skilled editor could do that.
Yeah.
But now it's just automated.
Instant and free.
You just have that to literally press a button.
And it was free.
Extend board and it'll just do it.
And it'll do it.
And it was free.
And it's free.
I mean, that saved my ass. That was one of these things where I'm just like, good old AI. Like, I was like, that's...
The wonders of tomorrow.
I mean, that saved my ass. Because I wouldn't have been able to use that image.
Of course. Like, it's always just going to be the most convenient thing. That's what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, but you know what I think you should do now? Like, this is the one thing that I think... You should try to like actually learn and get familiarized with AI. Because the only jobs, I think, of the future... are managing AI.
Jesus
Christ. Like, you know, doing like the basic...
Well, there have to be universal income. I mean, there has to be. There will have to be.
Well,
there probably won't be.
So what, people will just be dying?
No, there will have to be, Jordan.
I know there'll have to be, but do you think that it'll happen?
No, because you're thinking of like, oh, otherwise people are going to get unemployed and stuff and it's going to... No. I'm not even talking about that.
No.
I'm saying like if people don't get universal basic income, then all of the stuff... that is being produced
by AI is not going
to... Yeah. It's not going to be... There's no buyers for it because people don't have money. You literally, they will have to give them money to spend.
But it is already happening now. I think that we are just very early adopters and it was very lucky for us. But I honestly think that the only jobs available to Zoomers now is being a tradie or on OnlyFans.
I think like, yeah, the internet and like, yeah, the personality...
You're fucking right.
Personality trait that you're talking about, that is going to be, I think, the profession for the masses almost, weirdly. Because there's no other way. Otherwise, it'll have to be, like, really niche stuff. I think there's going to be a handful of companies that will own all of these AI techs anyways.
Yeah.
And they employ very few people. In fact, I was talking to Jordan about this. I want to actually do a segment, but I need to do some more research on it, like how we fetishize corporate investment. It's useless. Like we beg Amazon to like come over here, set up shop because we think they're going to bring billions of dollars. They employ like less people than freaking IGA. You know, like it's and all the profits are extracted back to the U.S. And when I say U.S., I don't even mean U.S. the country. I mean literally Jeff Bezos' account. We fetishize like all of these like corporate... And so these corporations are going to own all of the AI technology. You're going to have like a few people that will be obscenely wealthy. And then you're going to have the rest of the people that will either have to be like compensated through universal basic income or something of that sort. Or there's some cogs in the AI machinery and happen to be the lucky few that are employed.
I think that you could probably AI out buyers, though. You could probably do that.
Wait, what do you mean?
I think that you could probably just get robots that sort of like start trading goods and services between themselves, and then humans are truly fucking redundant.
Shit.
Well, where do you get the consumption from?
But that's what I'm saying, right? Like, probably what would happen is that consumption would just go more and more into this theoretical trade between billionaires trading between robots.
Fuck. It makes sense.
Futuristic, but like, I don't know if capitalism will survive that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that it'll probably just eat itself out.
Yeah. And then
will be like, so it's, man, this is why Marx was right. The system eats itself. You don't have to, like, you know, finish capitalism. Capitalism will finish itself.
Was that his main point? Was it that it eats itself?
It was
itself?
His main point. It was like what people consider to be free market is actually trying to make sure that the market isn't free, because if you let it be free, it will collapse on itself and then you're left with nothing.
How so?
Man, there's like complex.
A really good example of it is, all right, if America didn't bail out the banks.
Yeah, that's true.
Could you imagine what would happen? Like, if they just said, there's no money going anywhere. Yeah, theoretically, they just, okay, there's the thing that people always say of, oh, they should have bailed out the homeowners. Maybe.
True.
Maybe they should have done that. But imagine if they did nothing. Imagine if they just said, nah, free market.
Depression.
That's what
Great Depression.
Well, all the banks would fucking crash.
But like the basic point that Mark says is like, this is the best way to understand it. So let's say in a normal circumstance, let's say you need a pedal, right?
No example needed.
There's demand for one pedal. Now, someone
demand
can
for one. I think we're being a bit generous here.
Someone can.
You are being very generous.
Someone can decide, okay, I'm going to fulfill this demand by supplying one pedal. That's an even transaction. No one makes anything. So what the supplier needs to do is provide you with that one pedal plus a bit extra, which it will consider it to be a profit, right? That's the skim that he has. So for that, there will be an extra oversupply. That needs to be compensated by a higher demand, right? So this is a track where like demand and supply need to be, this is where the growth conundrum comes from. Like for capitalism to survive, there needs to be constant growth. If growth stops, investments cannot replicate themselves, and so the system collapses.
But with that example, you're saying they have a product and they're putting interest on it, and that's growing it, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's growing it. And and for it to be replicated again, there needs to be another growth. Because like no one does an investment without hoping for a profit, right?
Yes.
So there needs to be an extra amount
added
on as the profit. And for, again, now that transaction is done. How do you do the next one? There needs to be another profit motivation.
But you get recessions.
Yeah, which is causes problems. But like recessions are met by government giving people money, creating demand. That's how you
government
overcome
giving people
recession.
Money, creating demand for what?
So, for example, like Kevin Rudd's
stimulus
thing, right? The economy was going down. So he's like, okay, fuck. We've got supply, but there's no demand.
To keep feeding the fucking
and
machine.
So like, we need to give people $1,000 so that the demand goes up and supply meets again. And hopefully, once the supply happens, there's enough people that get money, so it keeps like it gets back into the equilibrium of growing itself.
Yeah.
But the problem is like in future AI, when people are losing their jobs, your aggregate demand is going to collapse, which is why capitalism will eat itself. Which is why people have suggested universal basic income, which by the way will have to keep growing because it cannot stay stagnant.
By the way, on that note, real quick, there was this just talking about pedals. There was this pedal that I saw, and it's like. Again, it's like they don't make it anymore, so the demand goes up. These used to go for like $300. I was asking this guy who was selling it. I'm like, I wanted it. I'm like, oh, I've always wanted one of these. And he's like, yeah, man. I'm like, how much are you selling it for? And he was like, oh, you know, based on the market, like what it's going for, between $900 and $1,200. And thank fuck I had the forthrightness to be like, this is ridiculous. I'm not getting
cheap
it.
Cheap labor.
I'm not. I was like, it's not worth it. But that's insane what happens. As soon as something's scarce, it's insane how much it goes up in price when it's scarce.
Well, if there is demand for the scarce product.
Yeah, which there is in that world.
Yeah, and you're supplying that to them.
Yeah, I am. Well, it's not just me. It ain't just me. It's a lot of people. But that is a really interesting point. And interesting.
Well, we need to do one more topic because we're running slightly out of time.
Can I just close by saying this? Much like Mars Sinsom, I'm disappointed
and terrified.
Thank you. And terrified. I'm terrified.
Jordan, we've got a very big question for you. I want to know how you feel about this. Have you heard that a certain MP is making a comeback in South Australia?
No,
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
John Howard.
The seat of Booth.
I'm back. I'm not from South Australia, but I moved.
That's okay, Howard. We accept you.
I'm talking about Nicole Flint. I didn't build it up right. I'm talking about Nicole Flint. Nicole Flint somehow, I think she left because she said there was sexism in politics and she couldn't deal with it. Maybe sexism is over. I don't know.
Yeah, that must be it. Either that or she looked at the polls and thought that she's got a chance of getting it back.
Yeah.
Obviously, she left because she wasn't going to win the next election.
But did you hear? She said that I have a one-point agenda. I want to make sure that Peter Dutton becomes the next prime minister.
Oh, my God. That's an agenda.
How do you? Of course she does, because she is a lackey of Peter Dutton. You know the reason that she started her whole beef? It was because of her faction. They needed something to deflect the sexism claims that the Liberal Party was getting. And so she just went on, railed on and on and on. You should have seen it. It was so pathetic, her, like, sexism accusations. She went on, and then she started reading out all these awful, awful comments. And I thought, oh, they must be so bad. And then you read them, and it's like, Nicole, you are faking crying. Why is it only when a woman fakes it, it's going to be a fake cry? Like, it was just incredible, the reach that she was going for. She is a complete and utter Manchurian candidate of the Menzies Institute, which is just a think tank that purports, like, just deeply burrows in Liberal Party talking points to them. They're nothing. She is an absolute vat of a human being. She doesn't have a single thought in her head unless it's transposed into her by Liberal Party think tanks. So she is, that is, at least for once in her life, she's being honest. That is the reason that she's running for Boothby. Yeah, and she's doing it because
there's another reason.
Cult-like worship of her in Adelaide.
Right.
There's another reason. I don't know if it's relevant, but it makes sense why she took a break. I think she was sick. She had, like, what's that disease? Endometriosis. It's like
endometriosis?
When it's, yeah, that's the one. Like, it's a cyst, it right? It's like an ovary.
But how? You don't have a womb. Oh, a woman has her way.
I have a personality of a woman. It's close enough.
Yeah, but I think she's...
I have ghost endometriosis.
Ever heard of ectoplasm?
She's gotten better.
Ectoplasma. Huh?
She's gotten better. She feels better. So I think that's why she's making a comeback.
Yeah, okay, right. She can say that. The reality of the situation was she wasn't going to win the fucking seat, and so she wanted to keep that. Again, I'm telling you, it all comes back to this perception. If she was a loser and then ran for Boothby as a re-election, that is a harder position to come from than resigned because it was all too much. Mm. It's easier for her to come back, just swan back in, oh, this new government's not popular anymore, remember how good things were under me, and then the press is constantly lauding her for being such a brave woman. It's all perception. She is just a viable stock. And she kept herself as a viable stock. And I don't even think that she's smart enough to think of that herself. I think that it was just the Liberal Party machine apparatus thought, well, we've invested enough in this stock, we can bring it back.
Right.
That's her.
So you think, like, the Liberal Party convinced her to come back, or she was just ready to come
she
back?
She does what the Liberal Party tells her to do, to a T.
Man, you know what I'm hoping for now?
Insight.
Now that Nicole Flint is coming back, I hope she wins too. And then we need the full Avengers. Bring back Bruz to John. Come back already.
Can you imagine?
We miss you.
Yeah. And of course, I was trying to think of someone really obscure, but now I can't remember.
Sam Destiari?
No, not Sam Destiari.
Yeah, the Kebab Files.
I can't believe I've forgotten him. He used to be the... he used to be the Minister for Transport. I was just going to chuck
him. I don't know any of these.
Sam Desiari was at one point considered to be the next Prime Minister's candidate. And then I think what was his crime?
He won too many deals with the Chinese.
Yeah, he did something Chinese related, huh?
Yeah.
But I think he was guilty because he very quickly admitted and just went away.
Fucked off.
So whatever it was.
Consulting.
He did that.
Consulting. What is consulting? Here's my consultation. Give me money. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
That's consulting.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. Here's my consultation to you. Whatever you were thinking was the right move.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what they do.
And it's better if it makes me money.
Again, dude, it's entirely about inflating egos. That is an entire sector of the corporate world. Huge sector of it. You're sitting there and saying to people,
good.
You're basically externalizing yes men because you don't have enough yes men around you.
So wait, the question is she going to win?
Well, it depends, really.
Who's in right now in South Australia? Seat, right? Is it Labor? Beats me.
Yeah, what are those wine-drinking loonies in South Australia?
Barossa? There's Barossa Valley, dreams,
anyone from Swedish? South Australia? Anyone from South Australia, can you answer me this question? Why do you always tell everyone that you weren't from Convict Flock?
Oh, because that's all they've got, man.
They
don't
always
take that off
bring
them.
It up, and I was like, yeah, that's all they got. I get it. I was also not looking down on you if you were.
They got that in West End, that defunct brewery. That's all they got.
West End draft, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That German town that
hey,
isn't anything like Adelaide at all.
That was sweet. What was that place called again?
Handorf.
Yeah, that was mad.
Handorf.
Sausages that aren't that good.
Oh, and Handorf. Yeah. Go in the right season, do the strawberry picking. The best strawberries you'll have.
You had me at Handorf. Shut up
about the strawberries.
They were so good.
No, I get that. I'll take that and I'll be going there.
Those are your best damn strawberries I done ever tasted. It's such as like Forrest Gump point.
It's awesome.
Man, I would lick in my fingers. That's awesome.
I love that. I would have no strawberries. I'm like, God damn, is this jam?
Hell yeah.
Could it melt in my mouth?
Don't forget the lolly shop. It's
like every other lolly shop.
Yeah, but like,
let's be honest, there's wider selection at Circular Quay.
I didn't know this, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that would be like, obviously, but I genuinely didn't know that all the strawberries and the fruits that we have at grocery stores,
they suck.
Are not the best ones because they just pick them when they're green.
It's water.
So that they look nice when they're at the grocery store. They get better.
No
they
shit.
Get so much
Dude,
better.
I stumbled upon a strawberry growing on like wild one, you know, in someone's garden. You're just like, oh, sweet nectar. Yeah, how sweet you are.
So good. And then you zoom down on the plant and there's snail bait all over. Now, this is sweet.
Just cuts to me not understanding one of the simple concepts on this pod. I'm like, hey, that's just that. Marxism. I'm like, what?
Yes. How could you turn down a free car? I don't know.
Oh, what a fucking great way to bring it back to. Oh my God. That is so good. I don't know.
You guys have concluding remarks?
I don't think you can end better on that. Get in touch. Miss Love 6.
Snail poison.
I need a car. Look, I have brain damage from eating poison. Please help me.
And if you can't get Miss Love a car, which is very understandable, sign up for Patreon. Family Geordie's podcast Patreon. We need you.
Extra videos. Extra stuff.
Yeah, we're doing so much. You get like extra videos. You get like minimum 2 a week.
Yeah.
And then plus the up late. We're doing a lot of these interviews. A lot of the podcasts that you see on YouTube were released on Patreon.
You get this podcast early. That's right, people that are watching it on Twitch, you get to watch it again.
And for people that are watching on Twitch, we're not going to be live streaming interviews from now on, which would mean that the only way you can access those interviews, we've got some big names coming up.
Hell yeah.
Big names. And not just big names. I'm not going to say. So make sure that you sign up to Patreon. It will be highly appreciated. Other than that, have a great week. We'll see you guys next time.